Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Freedom Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm excited to have you here today as we host another guest. His name is John Horn, and he comes to us today to talk about ads. Now, I know in today's online space, you're seeing all kinds of ads that, on ads coming at you, telling you ads are dead, telling you this is dead, telling you that to dead. It's hard to know what to do anymore. So we're bringing on the experts. We're talking about real conversations, and today I want you to learn and stick around to hear how you can experience ROI in your niche, even if it's a crowded market. So John, thanks for joining us. Don't miss an episode. Subscribe to this show on whatever podcast player you prefer, and follow me on Facebook and Instagram. Hey, it's Lindsay, and I want to pop in here because I know how overwhelming it can be to get started building an online business. I've even spoken with people who've paid thousands of dollars for help from people who are truly experts in this, and they're still feeling confused about what direction is right for them, or if their idea is even a good one. Listen, you don't have to guess or pray or hope or any of that. There is a way to test the market to ensure your idea is a good one so you can launch with confidence. And that's exactly what I show you in this simple 35-minute video training. I keep it simple because I know you already have so much swirling around in your brain. I'm not here to add more confusion because what you need right now is clarity. And that's what's in store for you in the short training called How to Tell If Your Idea Will Be Profitable. Access the video right now by texting the word FREEDOM to 55444. Stop guessing and start taking strategic action. Text FREEDOM to 55444. All right, back to the show.
Lindsay, thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. Well, kick it off. Let's hear a little bit about you. How did you get into this specialty niche?
Yes. So I've been doing this for over a decade at this point, ads for sure, digital marketing in general. So really I got into this world at my current company, Stub Group. It was over a decade ago. And so it was started, Stub Group was started by my brother and a long-term friend of his. And they brought me on as employee number one. And essentially what we saw is there's all these businesses who are making this move from, let's say, traditional advertising to digital advertising, and they need help figuring out how to spend their dollars effectively, you know, what's going to be a waste and what's going to work well. And so we built an agency, ran our own ads, get our own clients, figured things out, grew the team over time, and have gotten to participate in this journey of digital marketing over this last decade.
Awesome. And I bet a lot has changed. I feel like that's another huge challenge that we can tackle another day, but, you know, just keeping up with the changes and how fast everything is moving. In short, that's why you get somebody like John in your corner. It's his job to keep up with it. Right?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, things, like you said, things change so frequently, whether it be policies the platforms have, whether it be how the platforms work, whether it be, you know, which platforms people are using. And you know, it's hard enough for me and my team to stay on top of it. And this is all we do. So it's really kind of impossible to expect most business owners to stay on top of all these nuances and also run their own businesses and stay on top of everything else that's going on.
Right, for sure. Okay, so tell us a little bit about your journey. What was it like building your business as an agency?
Yeah, so I think one of the key things that we've learned over time that I probably didn't fully get in the early days, it's not rocket science, but really what you sell as an agency is you're selling the experience and time of your team members. And so when you are going to build an agency, it all comes down to the people that you bring on, the quality of those people, and then the quality of the processes and training and so forth that you have behind the scenes. And so we put a lot of work over time into, okay, how do we find the best people who are the right fit to help our clients? And then also, again, how do we keep changing as the platforms change? Because what you'll see with a lot of agencies is they might keep doing what worked, you know, 5 years ago or 10 years ago or whatever, or they might be resistant to some of the, let's say, the automations that the different platforms are bringing out. But in our experience, we found the most successful agencies are the ones who are constantly learning and testing new things, as long as they also have a big grain of salt. You don't just believe everything that Google says or Meta says, hey, this new feature is, you know, the best thing ever. Like, you got to test, verify, so forth. But you can't not try new things, otherwise you get left in the dust.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, and so I think in your bio, you've had quite an experience with testing different things currently. Do you mind sharing a little bit, like, I think how many thousands of ads you've had your hands in over the last decade?
So many. Yeah, we've worked with over 2,000 clients. We have just running the math recently. I think we've overseen a couple $100 million worth of ad spend over time across platforms, Google, Meta, Microsoft, and so forth. And yeah, it's one of the things I love about the agency world is that we get insights into so many different types of businesses. I'll often say I had no idea how many ways there were to make money until I got into this agency world. Because you'll have a company come like, hey, we're making all this money doing this thing. Like, I had no idea that was a product or that was a need or a service, but cool, it makes sense. People need it. Great. Let's help you find more of the people who need it. And so
That's
we really
awesome.
get a front row seat into the economy, into different types of businesses, business models. We get to see those who run their businesses well, those who don't. And we try to come alongside and partner and say, hey, we're seeing this work really well for these businesses, these clients. How about you try this approach or this method? And a lot of that's in the marketing side, but often beyond marketing, sales, product positioning, things that you might not think a traditional agency might be working on, but where we know if we can help the client with those things, then we're both going to be far more successful because ads are just the fuel that gets people in, and it's those processes, those sales mem team members, et cetera, that actually are the real magic for businesses.
That's interesting and true. I understand that. I have clients where I thought, wow, that is quite a niche. It's very, very specific, but sometimes that's the power is in that specificity. Out of curiosity, you mentioned you work with multiple different lead generation platforms, I guess we'll say. Do you find that there's one that's better than the rest, or do you think it's more specific based on the fill in the blank, the business, the avatar? I'm not sure.
Yeah, the different platforms, they have different strengths. It really depends upon the type of business you are. So for pretty much every business where people are searching either for your product or they're searching for a solution that you provide, Google is usually going to be the place that I'm going to start because when people are searching for something, they go to Google. So if you're a plumber, if you're an email marketing software, if you're a lawyer, fill in the blank, people are searching for that, Google is often going to be the first place you go. But then there are also businesses where people aren't necessarily searching for what you provide. A common example is say a new clothing brand. They have fantastic looking clothes, whatever the differentiator is, but people don't know to search for that. They don't know the brand name. They're not searching for that type of clothing. And so for a business like that, I'll probably want to start with Meta, Instagram, Facebook, maybe TikTok, something like that, where I can identify the right type of person. And then visually, show them ads, show them how great these clothes look, and then start building the brand. So every platform has its strengths again. It really depends on what the product is that you sell and who the target audience is that you're going after.
So, I mean, that ties right into our conversation today because obviously, if you want to get an ROI on your ad spend, you need to know where to start with your platform. So, where would the next step be then in that case?
Yeah, so the next step is really, it comes down to understanding what is unique about you compared to your competitors, and how can you double down and take advantage of that? Because the platforms are very mature. Google Ads has been around for what, a couple of decades. Meta's been around for a long time. Most of the platforms, it's not like the early days of platforms where you can just, throw a little bit of money at it and you get crazy results because there just aren't many people there. Competition is strong. And so it's about, okay, well, how can I stand out from that competition, either by the uniqueness of what I offer, or maybe by the sophistication of how I'm targeting and making sure I'm showing up to only the right people at the right time and not wasting money on other people who aren't, the right target audience for me. And so that's a lot of the conversations we have with our clients as an agency is, okay, what are the pain points that your customers have? How do you answer those in a somewhat slightly different way or better way than competitors? And therefore, how can we then, hammer down on that in our ad copy, in our landing pages, in the sales process, and in the specific keywords that we target or the specific audiences we target? And that's where a lot of businesses these days can find an edge even in a very highly competitive, highly mature marketplace.
Do you find that AI helps or hinders in that process? Because it sounds like, I mean, I've dabbled in ads, doing ads, and it tells you, oh, our algorithm is so smart, we can find all the people. I mean, how true is that?
So AI is fascinating. I kind of break it into two categories. So there's the AI that helps us with, let's say, with targeting and serving ads. And so this is kind of, what most people aren't going to see, but this is determining what ad appears when you do a search or when you're on YouTube or Meta or whatever. And that AI, that machine learning has absolutely improved, exponentially over time to the point where for most of the clients we're working with, we're heavily using that. There's different, let's say, bidding strategies, for example, on Google, where instead of us saying, here's what we're willing to bid for a particular click, where we're telling Google, here's what we're trying to accomplish, and Google's making decisions, for example, around how much they're going to bid based upon all the factors the AI is identifying. It can work very well a lot of the time. It is also far from fallible, or far from infallible, I should say. And so there's certainly still mess ups, things where it's like that search term is completely irrelevant to what we're going after. Obviously, the AI got it wrong. And so that's where you still need someone with, human understanding, human knowledge, creative thinking to be watching, to be monitoring what the AI is doing, and to be making sure the right inputs in terms of data is getting to the AI, so that the output is as good as possible.
And deleting those unnecessary keyword terms. Going
Exactly.
in. Yeah, I don't want
Yes.
to pay for that
Exactly.
one.
And part of it too is, the AI might realize over time, oh, hey, this type of search term isn't converting. Let me stop bidding on it. But I don't really want to be spending money for 2 months while it figures that out. If I see it right now and I'm like, yeah, I'm a tree service and Dollar Tree is not related to me, I want to exclude Dollar Tree right now so that I don't spend money on that for the next 2 months. And
So
so
does it
that's.
actually know, speaking of that, like that just made me wonder, does it actually know that this keyword search term caught this person who then bought? Like it does it, can it see that whole process?
It can. It can. There are sometimes gaps in the process if people have, ad blockers or different things. But the majority of the time, yes. If you go and search for something, I'm going to be able to see, okay, so this search term turned into an order. That order had this dollar amount tied to it, things like that. I don't see
Wow.
your name, I don't see private information about you, but I can see how the keywords, how the ads are converting into sales.
That's pretty awesome. So then you can really double down on just those keywords if you wanted to. Now, what's your process, or not your process necessarily, but like how would you advise somebody to figure out that part of the process? You know what I mean?
Yes, let's say you're listening to this and you are a business who hasn't done much Google Ads and you're, thinking about getting into it. The first thing that I would do is say, okay, let's identify again kind of what are your unique selling points? If you have five different services, I don't necessarily want to start with all five services. I want to start with what's working best for you. What are people searching for? What's converting well? Because that's a common trap a lot of businesses get into. They're like, oh yeah, I'm a tree service and I also remove stumps and I, trim trees and I, take out the garbage and whatever. But it's like, hey, no, if 80% of your business is coming from people who are, hiring you to cut down trees, let's start with that. That's obviously what's resonating with your audience. And sure, we can expand once we tap out that audience into other things and see if we can get something to work. But let's start with the low-hanging fruit. So A, I'd say, what is actually working best for you in your business right now? Let's start with that, advertising that. And then B, I would say, before we start spending any money on advertising, let's figure out what does success look like? What I mean by that is, are we trying to drive, phone calls? Are we trying to drive quote requests? Are we trying to drive people to your physical location? Like, what is the call to action that we want people to respond to? And then what can we afford to pay for that? So ideally, if you're a business, you already have a sense for things like your lifetime value of the customer, your close rate per lead, things like that. And so, if you come to me and you say, hey, I can afford, $5 per lead, and I know, okay, well, the click itself is going to cost $10 in this space, then I'm going to say, don't do Google Ads. Like, this is not ever going to work for you. But if you're like, hey, okay, I've done the math and we could afford to spend whatever, $300 per lead for this business. And I look at the numbers and I say, hey, okay, we might be able to achieve that. Then that lets us actually have a good place to start from where we know that what you define as success could possibly be achievable. And a lot of businesses just they don't do that. They just start throwing cash at it, throwing spaghetti at the wall. And then because they don't know what success looks like and they're not tracking success, it fails. And they have a bad, taste in their mouth from Google Ads because in their mind they failed because they went into it in a flawed way.
Okay, I'm taking notes because I have questions I've got coming up in my head. So one question is, typically, how long do somebody need to be running ads before they might start to see some of that ROI or at least a break-even point?
Yeah,
Obviously, I know
I'll answer.
it's going to change depending, but like just average.
Totally. So I'll answer in two ways. So the great thing with ads is that you start to see at least response and traction very, very quickly. It's not like SEO where you might, write a bunch of blog posts, do a bunch of work, and hope that 3 months from now, 6 months from now, you rank and start getting traffic. With ads, you know right away, hey, are people clicking my ads or not? And, what are they searching when they click my ads? Things like that. So you start getting feedback very, very quickly. But like you mentioned, obviously it takes some time to start working with that feedback to make the changes to make that profitable. So generally what we tell our clients is we say, hey, we want you to be willing to work for at least 3 months to prove concept, to get to the point where you're either profitable or it's clearly you're going in the right direction, it's going to be profitable. Now, for some businesses, they achieve profitability much, much faster than that. But that's kind of a rule of thumb going into it, where it's that you've got to have at least this much runway and patience to give this a real true shot to see if this is going to work well for your business.
Yeah. Okay. Now, the other question's a lot more technical, but I feel like you're the guy for this job. You seem like you're really
Let's
good at technical
do it.
stuff. Do you have a recommended like percentage? So, say the tree service is an example. Let's say they're averaging, I don't know, $500 per customer to fall a tree. Obviously, their profit margin is going to be all over the place. Every business has its own, net percentage average. But do you have like a good rule of thumb, like, 5% of your net per job is about how much you should spend times 20 or something like that? Like, do you have some sort of a financial algorithm to help them determine what their ad budget is?
That's a fantastic question. I'll share a couple of things about kind of the framework I would use for that. So the first thing I would look at is how much overhead cost plays into things. So for example, let's say you're an e-commerce business. Most of the cost related to what you're doing is going to be the cost of goods sold for that product. So I'm going to look at your profit margin. Obviously, there's going to be some overhead, salaries, things like that. But you're either going to sell this product and it costs you X amount to make it or not. And so often for e-commerce, people look at like return on ad spend heavily. If I'm selling this for $100 and my profit margin is, 50%, I know I'm making $50 profit from this. All right, how much of that $50 am I willing to spend in marketing to achieve that? And that's a little bit different than, let's say, maybe a tree service, company, since we're using that as our example, where, hey, they already have the cherry picker, truck. They're already paying for insurance. They already have a lot of the overhead cost that really doesn't change how many jobs they do. There are, costs associated with each job. There's going to be labor costs, things like that. But they're kind of at a point where it might make sense for them to spend a higher percentage of each job's cost on marketing because every job they get above kind of what their baseline is just extra money that's helping pay down that overhead versus the e-commerce company where it's more transactional. They have a set margin, not a lot of overhead. So I would factor that into setting those goals. And then usually what we do over time with clients is we try to find a water level. That's kind of how I describe it. Because the more profit you want out of every, transaction, the less you need to spend in advertising to accomplish it. But at a certain point, when you're not spending enough in advertising, you're just getting very few of those transactions. You can't go out and get more. And so we try and find that water level between the volume of transactions we're driving and the profit per transaction to maximize the number of those profitable dollars. And that's different for every single business based upon their numbers and margins and whatnot. So it's hard to give you kind of a rule of thumb It's more that's kind of the framework, and then we dig into their numbers to try and
Makes
see
sense. I mean,
what
I
they're
kind of
looking
wondered
at.
that too with the that's why I mentioned net profit, because I know like the e-commerce or net is usually higher, but labor can be less just because labor's kind of expensive depending on what they're doing. But also, then that also lends them into a lot of other questions and bunny trails. And you got me thinking too. It seems like Google Analytics plays a lot into this. Is that part of your service that you help them set up their Google Analytics and like track changes they're making, maybe to their website, so that rather than maybe adjusting the ads are driving the traffic, but we want to see if we can get it to convert better because we need to make this change. And I know in Google Analytics, you can like bookmark on this day we made this change and see how that's affecting it. Do you guys help track that?
Yeah, we definitely set up analytics for our clients and look at that on a regular basis to see what's going on. It's Google Analytics is the current version is a lot less helpful than earlier versions. Google did a big change. What was it last year? I think it was, or 2 years ago. And so it's not as valuable for a variety of reasons as it used to be, but it's still important. It's still something we do set up for pretty much every client and take a look at, because I think what you're getting at there is the website experience and what is happening on the website experience is critical to your success, whether it be in advertising or anything else that you're sending traffic to your website through. And this is what a lot of people, a lot of businesses ignore this. They focus all their attention and their ad spend and their spend and everything on the ads, on getting people to their website. And it's just not a good experience. It's, it doesn't say what it is they do. It doesn't answer client pain points. It doesn't have good calls to action to move people to take that action. And so they just waste a lot of money. And so yeah, we spend a lot of time, giving feedback, giving recommendations. Hey, let's test this landing page. Let's move this around here. How do we increase that conversion rate? Because then that makes everything else just better. It makes everything else cheaper for them, gets them more, the more that they increase that conversion rate.
100%. I think that's the most biggest frustration I hear from agency owners is that they're doing even so, it could be social media, it could be ads, it could be Pinterest. It doesn't matter how, if they're in the agency of driving traffic to a business, that's all great. We can get the eyeballs, and then the customer's upset because it's not converting. Well, you're not a web designer, it's like that's not what you were contracted for. So it's definitely a key important part. I was just curious though if you offered like input or suggestions on that or could help track, because it's true. I mean, I just had a client, we made one change to her website and it went from not converting to making a high ticket sale, and there was no ads. I mean, this was just the website itself got changed. And that's super awesome, and I think input from you guys, it comes from the keywords. Like, what are people searching for? You got to speak to that on the website. If they're searching for something and then they land on the website and the messages don't jive, they're gone. You lost them. Like, you just wasted your money. So it's really important.
Yeah, and there's
Now,
often, yeah, go ahead.
no, you go for it.
I was gonna say there's often a disconnect between the words that consumers use and the words that businesses use, and we see this all the time. Like a good example, let's just say our tree company example. Someone in the business, they might use the word arborist, and that's all they think about, and that's what they've got on their landing pages and their domain and everything, because I'm an arborist, that's what I do. Me going to get my trim tree, my tree trimmed, I might be like, okay, tree service or who cuts trees or whatever. And this is a very simple example, but when businesses use that kind of business lingo on their websites, it just doesn't connect in the same way with consumers who are searching a different way. And so sometimes as an agency who isn't in the weeds as much as the client is, we're able to give that outside perspective to say, hey, this is actually how people are searching, and this is how we think about it. Let's change the messaging and how you describe what you do on your landing pages and website to actually match what people are looking for.
100%. Yeah, you can't stress that enough. I agree. That's probably one of the biggest challenges business owners face is understanding how people are searching. What are they doing at home? So, okay, let me ask you a couple of like, we've talked a little bit about things to do. What are some things that are like, don't do? Like, here's a strong, absolutely don't do this. This is something we see happening all the time and it's messing you up. Stop right now.
I like that question. Yes. What are some things to not do? The first thing that I will say, don't take as gospel truth the best practices that any platform is pushing towards you, whether it be Google Ads, Meta Ads, etc. They you can go and you can DIY set up and run your own ads on Google or Meta or wherever. It's very doable. But often the quote unquote best practices that they're pushing you towards, they might be a best practice for some businesses, but they're not the best practice for all businesses. And generally, they are the best practice at making more money for the platform. And so that's where, sometimes this little checkbox here and there, it's like, oh yeah, sure, I'll be opted into this display network. I don't know what that means, but Google says, do it. Cool. They know what to do. And then you wake up, a month from now and you realize, oh, I just wasted half my budget because it was all going over here and this wasn't relevant. This wasn't working. So just be really careful about what the platforms tell you, and what reps from those platforms tell you as well. I'm not saying that they're acting maliciously, but they often aren't particularly expert at their own platforms, and they're just, they're given specific things they have to push, and they're judged upon, adoption. Hey, how many people are using Performance Max campaigns, or how many people have customer match set up, or whatever. And those aren't bad things in and of themselves, but they're not always the things that actually move the needle for you as a company. And sometimes they're bad things for you, depending upon, your setup. So that would be number one. Other thing to not do, let's see here. The other thing to not do is view advertising as a magic bullet. I often describe advertising, and it's not unique to me, but I describe it as fuel, as for your fire. So you when you put ad dollars out there, you're getting more. You're getting more traffic, more eyeballs, more people coming to you. But if you have core problems with your business, with your offering, if your pricing is misaligned with what people are looking for, or your salespeople can't close deals when people call you, advertising is not going to fix that. It's just going to get you more people to then go through that broken process. So fix your actual business issues, then use advertising to get more going through your working process. And I think the last thing that I would say in terms of what not to do is going to be, I would say don't get too caught up in all the flashy, shiny new things. It's really easy for businesses and for marketers like me. There's always something new coming out. There's always, oh, this great thing. Let's go test this out. And like we talked about earlier, yes, you have to be testing things. You have to be using the new things. But sometimes, they don't work. They're not the best thing for you. And there are things that are tried and true that aren't as glamorous, but that still get the work done. And so, maybe take a percentage of your budget to test the shiny new things, but don't forget the tried and true things that do work and are the workhorses of the marketing world, so to speak.
Yeah, that's sound advice. That's very good. That's really good. So I think this is fantastic. Tell me more about Stub Group. Like what exactly do you guys, is that your agency or do you also have a, I'm confused. Do you have a membership too?
Yeah, great question. Yeah, so we're an agency. So Stub Group, we help with things like, Google advertising, SEO, email marketing, things like that. We also do a lot of work helping people with kind of this unique niche thing where if you get your if your ad account is suspended by Google and you're not allowed to keep advertising, which happens to last year it happened to almost 40 million accounts. So it's not an uncommon thing. Then we help a lot of people fix those things as well and kind of get back on Google. And yeah,
Is that
ultimately,
true for Google business listings also? Do you help with that?
great question. Sometimes we
You
don't do
know,
as much
I've
work
seen it
there.
happen.
Oh, it happens so often. It is so frustrating. Yeah, people get suspended there left and right. It really depends. We're definitely open. Reaching out, we'll take a look at your situation. Sometimes we can help. Sometimes we'll, send to a partner who works with that. But yeah, we're more than happy to take a look and kind of have a conversation.
Yeah. Why do ad accounts get canceled? Like, is there a theme or a reason, or is it just like, I know with Google business listings, it can happen because somebody files a complaint against you and they could be completely false, but Google will take their word. I can understand like there's logic behind that, one rogue customer. But with ads, it seems odd. I mean, are those the same way that can they be targeted by random people?
So I would say on the ad side of things, it's not generally that someone's reporting the advertisers. It's that Google, by necessity, has had to build a patchwork of policies and enforcement, much of which is automated, because so many people are trying to misuse the Google platform. There are so many, scammers out there, people trying to install malware on your computer, grab your login credentials, whatever it is. And so there are just a ton of bad actors. And so Google legitimately has these processes in place to try and stop that and keep Google Ads safe. But because they're so mammoth, because it's such a patchwork of things, because there's so much automation in play, there are also tons of fully legitimate businesses that get caught up in that. And maybe they, accidentally did something that wasn't malicious. They didn't have this policy page in their website they didn't know they needed to have, or they said this thing in their ads that, triggered the system in this way. All sorts of different things that can go wrong. But once it goes wrong, it's really hard to get Google to actually look at it and bring you back because they're so mammoth and their process is just not good. And so there's not a lot of common sense, unfortunately, involved, which is where often people bring us in to be like, okay, I don't know what to do here. I've done the obvious things, take me through the paces so we can actually get somewhere with Google.
Interesting. Yeah. I was just thinking, this is, I don't know, maybe I'm off base here, but you mentioned earlier like a typical cost per click being around $10. And I thought, wow, that seems like a lot for what I remember it being when I would run specific ads. And I got thinking about it and I'm like, just a random conversation. I thought, what a racket Google and Meta and all of them they've got going, because the busier the platform gets, the only way they can like manage the quantity of people paying for ads is to raise the price. So then they just become more profitable and more profitable.
There is a lot of profit going around at Meta and Google for sure. And to some extent it's auction based in that definitely, some clicks will be way cheaper than that because the competition, everyone, no one can afford to pay $10 if you're selling a $5 widget. And so there's going to be less competition. And so you're going to have lower cost per clicks. But at the end of the day, it's not fully an auction. Like Google definitely has their finger on the scale, and we keep seeing the cost per click, increase year over year and get more expensive,
Yeah.
which is why it's all the more important to be really, sophisticated, targeted, smart about how you manage your campaigns because you can't really afford not to be with
Right.
how much clicks cost these days.
And for the audience that doesn't know, because I have a feeling there's people who don't know this, but YouTube ads is a part of Google. I mean, people know YouTube and like we know Google and YouTube go together, but for some reason, when we think of ads and we're talking Google ads, we're thinking of search engine Google. YouTube is part of that process. Do you find the cost per click varies at all between a traditional Google ad that's going to show up on a search engine versus like a YouTube video ad?
Yeah, great question. So cost per click and cost per view, things like that are often going to be much lower on YouTube, absolutely. And a lot of that is because, people are much less likely to click directly from there to go do something, and they're not searching right now. So with search campaigns, you're paying a premium because you're going after someone who's literally right now saying, "I want what you sell," basically. And they are the most likely to convert and convert right away. And then with YouTube, you're getting a little bit up higher in that funnel, generally speaking. Some people do use YouTube as a search engine. I mean, actually, Google loves to say YouTube is the second biggest search engine after Google. I mean, a lot of people use it. But they're not always necessarily looking to buy something or purchase service right away. And so it's a little higher funnel, but still very effective at creating brand awareness. It is very effective at driving, true conversion sales for some types of businesses. And it's very effective because Google knows so much about us. And so the ability to target people to know what they've been searching for on Google, and then they see an ad on YouTube is kind of unmatched by most of the other platforms. And that makes it a great place for many advertisers.
Perfect. Yeah, I think that's a great conversation. A lot of information for people to wrap their brains around. Where is a good place for them to find you?
Yeah, two places, our website, stubgroup.com. You see all the info about us. And then since we're talking about YouTube, we have a YouTube channel, search Stubgroup on there, and we put a lot of videos out there for free, obviously, just about marketing and business and Google Ads and all sorts of fun stuff like that.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, John. It's been a true pleasure and very informative. So I appreciate you joining us.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.